This week's Shurim have been sponsored by Family Grossman, Le'ilu Nishmas, Reb Chaim Yosef, Ben Yisachar Dov, Zichrono Levracha. Hey, Menachem Ov, Friday the 12th of July, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, too much salt.
The Gemara in Becheres, in the Chesmul Beis, brings an interesting story. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya got into a discussion with the Kesa, the Gemara says, some sort of Roman king, it seems. And the discussion was how long it takes for a snake, a female snake, to keep going, to for the pregnancy to keep going till she's ready to give birth. A machlokes, 3 years, 7 years, 4 years, was somewhere. So the shal is how long? And Rabbi Shua ben Chananya said it was 7 years. And the Kesa said, what do you mean? The wise men of Athens, the greatest scientists of the time, disagree. And they've done experiments. And Rav Shimon Chananya just dismissed them. He said, experiments, shmeriments. Well, he didn't quite say that. He spoke in Yiddish. But he said, it's nothing. He didn't take the experiments seriously at all. And the Kesa said to him, Rav Shimon Chananya, if you're so wise, then let's see if you can go and have a debate with them and see if you can succeed in bringing those wise men of Athens here. So Rav Shimon Chananya goes over there, you can have a look at the Gemara, the whole story, and he has a debate till he gets to see them. They were in some sort of sealed, sort of a real, you know, real ivory, a real hidden place that was tucked away somewhere you couldn't access them. Eventually he gets in and they start discussing things. And they are posing questions that he has to respond to. He has to come up with an answer to their questions. And the Poshup Shat in the Gemara is very difficult to understand. But there's the Vilna Gaon, there's the Marsha, Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Drosha deals with one of them, the one that we're going to be looking at. I'd like to look at just one of the questions that they asked him, and Reb Shua ben Chananya's response. And they asked him as follows, Milche Kisaria b'may malchilo. When salt goes rotten, how do you preserve it? In those days, they were lucky they didn't have preservatives in their food. Or unlucky, depends how you look at it, from the doctor's point of view, from the practical point of view. So if you want to travel on a journey and you want to take food with you, you had to preserve it. So you salted your fish, you salted your meat, and that way you knew that it would last. But they said, that's fine when you want to salt your fish and meat. But what are you going to do when you want to salt your salt? When you want to take salt with you and the salt is going to rot, how are you going to preserve salt? Milcha kisaria. If your salt goes rotten, but my molchilo, how are you going to salt that? So Rabbi Shua ben Chananya said, it's simple, no problem, I have the answer. I've got something you can use to preserve your salt. Use a silta de kudnaisa. Kudnaisa is a mule, and silta is the afterbirth. Take the shalya, take the placenta of a mule, and use that to salt your salt, to preserve your salt. So they said, what do you mean, the placenta of a mule? Don't you know that a mule can't give birth? He says, oh, a mule can't give birth. Well, don't worry about that, because anyway, salt doesn't go rotten. Problem solved. So the shaila is what they're talking about. What was their shaila? What's his response? Just say straight, salt doesn't go salt. No, say, preserve your salt with a silta de kudnaisa. Or you can't get an afterbirth of a mule. Don't worry, you won't have your salt going rotten anyway. Tzorich Iun Gotl, what is going on here? So Reb Chaim Volozhin in his drosha, his famous drosha, for Slichus, touches on this shaila and he gives a hesber. And he tells us that the question they were asking was as follows. And then as part of this debate, quite a lot of this debate seems to be around this discussion. At the time of the Churban, Reb Yeshua ben Chananya was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. This was the Tkufa of Churban Abayis. And the Goyim at the time turned round to Kalal Yisrael, and they said, it seems something has changed. All these years, you had a Beis HaMikdash, you had a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We felt, you certainly felt, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a father, a loving father. But that seems to have changed. He doesn't love you anymore. If you love someone, you don't kill out their children on Eniklach. If you love someone, you don't destroy the place in which you communicate. You wouldn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It seems the Rabbeinu Shalom is sick of Klal Yisrael, he's abandoned Klal Yisrael, and now he's looking for a new Ummah, for a new nation to take their place. That was the taina of Ummah Soilam. If he loved you, he wouldn't treat you this way. What do Klal Yisrael answer? What do we say to the Ummah Soilam when they ask, why are we so persecuted if we're Taka HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children? And the Torah says, we always say, The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, the reason why he puts us through so much suffering, so much almost unbearable suffering, is for one reason, because he wants us to do tshuva. These are Yisurim Shel Ava. It's not a Makas Oyev, it's not a Makka of an enemy, of somebody who hates us, it's a Makas Av. It's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam who doesn't want to see us going astray, who's giving us patch to bring us back. When the Umas Olam, the Yischachmed Be'atuna, had a kasha on that Hanocha, they knew the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says that Yisurim are compared to salt. Why that is, we have to get to, but the Gemara says that Yisurim are like salt. Just as salt is mematekes as habosah, salt brings out the flavor of meat. Yeah, if you have meat without salt, it's bland. Saltish kentam and shkireach. You need to add salt. Some people add more salt, and then more salt beyond that. You know, you can't eat your chum without a few extra sprinklings. Very few people get through the chicken soup without salt. Salt brings out the tam. So the Gemara, just as salt brings out the taste of meat, Yisurim memarkim avoynosav shel adam. Yisurim take away the avoynos, the averus of a person. So without getting into that, we'll leave that for later. But they understood that this Yisoid was Yisoid of Yisurim. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us into Golus is because it's good for us. Yisurim memarkim avoynosav shel adam. So they said that, the Chachmei Be'atuna said, I don't understand. You're telling me the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving you Yisurim to bring you back? Have you seen that happening? Did the Jewish people improve when they went into Golus? Did we learn positive habits from Rome, from Greece? Did we pick up new Hanhogas and Yiddishkeit when we spent time in Italy and in Spain? What did we pick up exactly from the Romanian Goyim, from the Polish Goyim, from the Germans, from the Russians? So we picked up Edelkeit, we picked up. What are you talking about? Every place a Yid went, there was a Yeridus Adoris. Because they're in Golus. They were under the influence of people who are not Edel, who are not pure, who are not Kaddish, who are not Torah, who are the opposite of everything that we stand for. And if it wasn't ideological clashes, then it was clashes in lifestyle and in culture. And we see it today. In the world that we live in, we see how affected we are in a negative way by our surroundings. So what do you mean it's Yisurim Shel Ava? What are you trying to fool yourself? It's Nastazach. Does it make sense? Can you really believe that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is sending you into Golus to help you improve? He's trying to salt you? He's trying to improve you? Your salt isn't working. Milche kisaria. When the salt itself goes rotten, what are you going to do? When your golus is making you worse, not better, then what are you going to say? And their conclusion was, it seems that if it's not making us better, if the salt is not there to improve us, so it shows the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't really like us, it's not Yisurim Shel Ava, and that was their conclusion, that Zetzachos, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not interested in Klal Yisrael. That's the kasha of the Chachmei Be'atuna, and it does seem to be a very, very good question. That's as far as Reb Chaim goes. He's clear about the kasha. The pshat and the answer isn't as clear. I'd like to try and be masbir, a taich given by Reb Dessler, on what the response is to this great question of how is Golus meant to help us if Golus just drags us down? And to understand that, we have to be nichnas into two chalokim of Yiddishkeit, two parts of our Avodas Hashem. But I'd like to begin with a kasha that people ask, an apparent stira between a Chavetz Halvavus and Reb Chaim V'loshina. It looks like a very good stira. We've discussed it before, it's something very yisodistic. The Chavetz Halvavus, one of the most famous yisodists of the Chavetz Halvavus, is that Tfilah b'loi kavana k'guf b'li neshama. A person who davens without kavana, doesn't think about what he's saying, doesn't feel the words of tefillah, is kaguf b'li neshama. It's like a body without a neshama. What's the ik of tefillah? The ik of tefillah is the kavana. The ik of tefillah is what the thought that person thinks about when he's davening. The awareness, just that. The awareness that he's coming lifnei melech, malchei hamlochim, and asking for a favor. That feeling, that sense that we have, if we have to turn to somebody for a favor, or recently I had to ask somebody for a favor, I pushed it off until I couldn't push it off any longer. And then I went in and I schmoozed, I just couldn't bring myself to ask him. It's very difficult to ask for a favor. But it's not so difficult for us to ask to stand Shemoneh Esrei when we're not aware of that. When you feel a sense of oni or imig bepesach of a poor man knocking at the door, that's the hargosha of tefillah. That's what makes tefillah real. The kavona of the tefillah, not the words of the tefillah. And mefurish and chiv salvavus. Tefillah beloi kavona keguf beli neshama. Frekzach b'shayla shabchaim b'loshen in nefeshachayim is marich to explain that this is not correct. Tefillah, the ik of tefillah doesn't start with kavana. The main thing in tefillah is to make sure you say the words. He's got a poshet aray. Fregach lamach. Ayid wakes up one morning and he wakes up with a sense of his irirus. He gets up and he says Moida Ani, and it takes him 2-3 minutes just to get through Moida Ani. He's being responsible Moida Ani lefanecha. What it means to be Moida, what it means to be grateful. Ani, the whole essence of who I am, lefanecha, I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I get out of bed, and long before I get to shul, I'm lefanecha eventually. He's so switched on. And he decides he's davening at home. Again, he can't daven in shul, it's going to be too distracting. And it takes him, mamash, 20 minutes karbonos. Half an hour of Sukkot the Zimra, and then he gets to Birchus Krishma, Ona Vintzach, he's mamish crying his heart out, and he goes to Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim, it's Neiratik. And he gets to Shemoneh Esrei, and he feels he just needs to think. So he spends 2 hours, got it very early, plenty of time till Zman Tefillah, and he spends 2 hours thinking about all the Tefillahs of Shemoneh Esrei, his eyes closed, and he's not the Siach Das for a moment, and he's mispoinen all the Tefillahs, what it means, Baruch Ato Hashem. What means Baruch Ato Hashem? Baruch Yod Mekor Abrocho. Baruch Shvi Mesrav the Shefa. Ato. I think I'm standing right directly in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ato, you Hashem. What it means? Yud Kevavke the Kabbalas. On Brichas Ovis. On Brichas Gevuras. On Brichas Kedushin. He sits there thinking for 2 hours. All the Kabbalas of Shemoneh Esrei. And then he says, "Is Shalom." And he takes 3 steps back, Taka, and he thinks about Oysa Shalom Bimroimov. Another 10-15 minutes, he think about Oysa Shalom Bimroimov, what it means, Revenge makes Shalom Shamayim, who Yasa Shalom Aleinu, that Shalom from Shamayim should come down here, Pile Ploim, Mamish, and most incredible Shemoneh Esrei. But then he thinks, you know, maybe I wasn't Yitzhak because I didn't say the words. Nah, Shemoneh Esrei, I better call the Rav. So he calls the Rav and he says, "Rabbi, says Shuldik, I just had a Shemoneh Esrei where I davened with Machshava. It was the most inspiring Shemoneh Esrei I've ever had, better than all the Yom Kippurs put together. But I didn't actually say the words. What's the halacha?" Reb Yid, you got 5 minutes to Zman Krishma. You better get davening straight. Daven Shemoneh Esrei shnel. You haven't been yotze. Oh, okay. So you daven Shemoneh Esrei. Now he's such a behola, he's such a shock from the psak of the Rav that Baruch says all the words 1, 2, 3. Next, you know, Baruch Hashem, within 4 minutes, he's finished, does it? He says, Shalom. He says, I started off, I was still thinking Birchas Ovis. But once I got to Atta Kodesh, I was miles away. I was busy trying to work out how that can be. So he calls up the Rav again, says, Rav, tell me, was I yoked for the second time? Maybe I should daven again before Chatzis. I didn't have any kavona, just about the words between Birchas Ovis. What's the halacha? Yeyotze, he said the words, Kavona Birchas Ovis, Yeyotze, maybe Moedim is Ma'akib Evsha. So, what happens at Reb Chaim? Mufurish in halacha, don't any londers or any ashkofa, mufurish in halacha, that if you have the words, you have a Shemoneh Esrei. But if you don't have the words, whatever Kavona you have doesn't count. Is mufurish l'chayim l'chayim v'lashim, and then shvira the nefesh l'chayim. And then shvira the chayim savavis. The chayim savavis says the main thing is the kavana, and Chayim v'lashim tells us the main thing is the words. But of course, not only is it not austere, they complement each other. It's a poshet. What exactly did the chayim savavis tell us? Tfilah b'loi kavana k'guf b'li neshama. Is anyone here who works on the Chevra Kedisha? Okay, if there is, you'll have had an experience of a guf b'li neshama. Right? Something that can be arranged. You can see, you can go out in Olam Hazeh. Every day in this city there are gufs b'li neshama. Yeah, poshet, mamish kipshuta. Without the normal, you know, guy spacing out, which is always the guf b'li neshama. Physically, you can have poshet, a guf b'li neshama. It's not hard to find. Have you ever seen a neshama b'li guf? In Olam Hazeh, will there ever be a neshama b'li guf? Oh, scary. Think of a pibuk flying around, gets scary. This is a win over neshama b'li guf. A guf b'li neshama, of course you can have. You can't have neshama b'li guf. That means push it. Nothing starts in olam hazeh before you get the guf. You have to start with the guf. But does that mean the guf is the ikkah? Does that mean the guf is the most important? Of course not. It's into the guf that you have to put neshama. If you have a guf b'li neshama, even if the guf is alive and the neshama is just about in the guf, but he's in a coma nebuch, a vegetable, that doesn't mean anything. Yeah, he's alive, but it's just guf, there's no neshama. In Olam Hazeh, everything starts with the chitzonis, with the guf. If your tefillah doesn't have a guf, it doesn't begin. It doesn't have a metzius in this world. It's not real enough. But then the tachlis of that guf is to make it alive, to put the chius into it. And the more alive it is, the more real it is, the more tachlis there is. The tachlis is exactly that, to put neshama into the guf. There's no stira. Reb Chaim Volozhin is maskim that tefillah b'li kavana k'guf b'li neshama, and that the ikkah is the neshama. He's just reminding us, don't go walking around trying to find neshamas without a guf. You start with a guf. As the Rebbein Shem HaShafin HaMensch, he made a guf, and then vayipach pa'apov nishmas chayim, you can inject life into that guf. Listen again, many, many inyonim. But the emes is, in every mitzvah this is true. Look at the Torah. What are the chiyuvim that the Torah gives us? Primarily, the chiyuvim are about doing. Obligations, mitzvahs that we have to do. There's also the kavana. If you don't do the mitzvah, what happens? A big einshim. Person becomes an avarian. He's done something wrong if he hasn't done it. But if he hasn't had kavana, okay, he's okay. Right? Person who does a mitzvah but doesn't have great kavanah, he gives tzedakah, but he just does it. Okay, I've got to give tzedakah, so he gives tzedakah. There's no lave there. He's done the mitzvah without lave. So we say, you see, that to be yotzeh, you just need to do it. Shine, that's the ikkah. Ich fregach, let me ask you a shayla. Same question again. You got two yidin. One yid comes home from shul Friday night. I'm halfway through the story. One yid, El Shabbos, Bachatzos, he's already thinking about Shabbos. And he goes to mikveh, and he's Isaac in Inyone Shabbos, till Shabbos. All the midrashim, and all the beautiful Mamori Chazal, about the Inyone of Shabbos, and he learns Svarim about Shabbos. And he's there, saying Shir Ashirim half an hour before Kabbalah Shabbos. And he davens in a shul where they have a long mincha of Shabbos, special long, because people are in Shabbos mode already. And then they have a couple of Shabbos gemishat zorich. Oh, they sing talachodoidi. And he feels mamish and the shomas going out of dvikas. Mamish is piliploy. Then he comes home, sits zimtzach shalom aleichem. Mitrabon kaloi lomim, eishas chayim, says tikkunim fan kiddish. By the time you get to kiddish, you know you're just not knowing him as a. And his family, and his tzitzach da kiddush, and he starts to get a shishi, and it takes time. Kiddush takes time. He's alive. He knows this is Shabbos. Zocher Shem Shabbos the Kachar. This is Zocher to remember something in the past. Zocher and Leptis and Noch Kiddush Mekadesh Shabbos. You feel so that means Mekadesh Shabbos Pilipli. And then there's a Suda, and by Yedda, Michael, each course is Zmiris, and there's Divrei Torah, and it's Shabbos. It's Pilipli. An incredibly inspiring Shabbos. His Suda takes 3-4 hours. He learns Nochan Inyan Shabbos and again Shlofen, the same thing during Shabbos day and Shabbos Shudas, Piliplo. He has a next door neighbor who Chatzos and Erev Shabbos hasn't even remembered Bichlal that Shabbos is coming. He gets into the shower just before Shabbos and he rushes, he comes to Mincha and he's got up a heter. There's some heter that if you're daven with the Bal Tfilah, it sort of counts as some sort of Tfilah B'tzibur. And Shani runs in, gets a bit of a sort of a Tfilah B'tzibur with a Bal Tfilah. And I say, he makes sure he's in the shul that they don't schlep and they don't do this singing business. 1, 2, 3, Kavod Shabbos, Ma'ariv. You're over, you're out, you're home. And Shalom Aleichem, Eshishchal, Kiddush, let's go. Sure, Kiddush is over, and then you can do something useful. You can get some eating. Oh, so they eat the food, and there, here and there, Tvat Torah, maybe if his wife reminds him, he'll sing one or two Zmiris, and I say, Shat, Friday night, that's done, next. Shabbos morning, quick minion, a nice quick Suda, Shat, and then he remembers Shalosh Shudas. Where's the Shabbos, Rabid? Where's the Shabbos? I forgot to add one prat. This first Yid, our Shabbos Tegid, is very Isaac in the Inyonim of Shabbos.
Yiskin and Yonim and the Midrashim and Chazal and the Svarim HaKadoshim, they're very big into Shabbos. Oh, but he's not such a big maven in Hilchos Shabbos. He doesn't like getting into nitty-gritty bits and pieces. You know, if you take a nafkimini, take the fish from the bone from the fish, and nafkimini, you know, you're preparing the kids' clothes, you have to see, you take it out the night before, you pick out the socks from this sock, from that sock. Don't get so technical, you know? As long as it's Shabbos dig, Sidachnere dig. So here and there, over Shabbos, he's done a bit of Boira, he's moved a few bits of Mukta, there was a Shail of Tzeveya, and one or two questions of Losh, but you know, he said to his wife, it's probably okay, don't worry about it. And the second fellow who rushes his davening, rushes through his meals, he's a gruesome didactic in Hilchos Shabbos. He's got a quiz in Hilchos Shabbos on Shabbos afternoon for 3 hours where he learns Mishnah Berurah and they go through the Hilchos Shabbos. And he's very didactic in Hilchos Shabbos. Who's the Shabbos Digiyid? The first or the second? Any question? The second? The first one's Nishke Shabbos Digiyid. He's a Mechal Shabbos Digiyid. He's a Mechal Shabbos. Even when it happens once on Shabbos, or once a year on Shabbos, the Yid's a Mechal Shabbos. But Shoyig, it's a Mechal Shabbos. The second Yid's not a Mechal Shabbos. How can you compare the two? But on the other hand, that fellow who's not a Mechal Shabbos, is he taking Shabbos to Yid? Zichnot. What does he have of Shabbos? A guf b'li neshama. He's got the goof of Shabbos. He's got the shmina of Shabbos. But what is he being shomer? What connection does he have to the pnimius of Shabbos? Does he feel anything special on Shabbos? Does he think different thoughts on Shabbos? Does he speak differently on Shabbos? Is he more in touch with the rabbinishim of Shabbos? Gosh, that's called Shabbos. That's goof, belina shama. We say in Zmiris famously, there's two different Yidin. There's the Shema Shabbos Kados Mechaloloi. Yes, he keeps Shabbos Kados, follows the letter of the law, and he's not Mechalol Shabbos. Seder. Oh, but he's not a Kol Mekadesh Shvi Karoiloi. He's not Mekadesh Shabbos. Doesn't make Shabbos Kodosh, Muvdal, separate, different from everything weekday and profane. He doesn't have the rimus of Shabbos. And the Rebbe Yisrael rewards all of them, as we say there in Zmiris. Schorei ha'bemoyed al pi fa'aloi. The Rebbeinu Shem responds to the person based on what he invests. Ishal machaneu v'ishal digloi. There'll be different machanois and different digolim for the Shemri Shabbos and the Mekadshe Shabbos. Shemri Shabbos Kados and the Mekadosh Shvi Karoil. It's an under a welt. It's a different world. But because we're told all the time that the technicalities matter most, because without that, nothing starts, we forget that that's just the guf belina shoma. And once a person has become a shoma Shabbos, he has to put some chius into that Shabbos. He has to make the Shabbos alive. Once he's got the technicalities of his davening, he pronounces each word correctly and doesn't swallow the words. He's got the guf of tefillah. Then he has to put the chius into that tefillah. Two chalokim, the pnimius and the chitzonius of every inyan in Avodas Hashem. And then it says it goes further. It's not just how much we understand it, it's how important it is to us, how important mitzvahs are to us, how valuable Limud HaTorah is to us, how valuable the opportunities of chesed are to us. It's not just a question, primis is not just a question of feeling and appreciating what it's about, it's also how valuable is this sugya to you, the primis of a mitzvah, the chitzonis of a mitzvah. We imagine that if the Rebbeinu Shem destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh, he must have been very upset, or he must have been doing Gefer Lecha Averis. And the emes is, it's true about Bayis Rishon. In the first Beis HaMikdosh, what had gone wrong was the guf of Klal Yisrael. The guf of the mitzvahs, Avodah Zarah, Gilah Aroyas, Shechas Domim. We were doing things wrong. Of in the second Beis HaMikdosh, what did Chazal tell us? That wasn't the issue. They were loymet Torah, and they davened, and they did chesed, they did gemilus chasodim. We did everything right. But what was missing was the pnimius, was getting a connection with Yiddishkeit. We did it, but we were distracted. We weren't involved. We didn't care. We didn't feel for mitzvahs. And that is expressed by the way we did chasodim. Yeah, we were nice to other people on the surface. We rang gemachim, and we gave tzedakah. But there was a sinas chinom. There was a hate. There was a dislike. We looked down at other people. We felt distant from other Yidden. The pnimius was missing. You know, the Gemara is a discussion who was worse, the first Beis HaMikdosh, the second Beis HaMikdosh. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the second Beis HaMikdosh were on a lower madriga. And the Gemara isn't happy with it. It's not so simple. The Gemara says, Mechel Teisa, look at them. They did much greater mitzvahs than the second Beis Hamikdash. And Rabbi Yochanan had to bring a raya, and he said, see from the Churban, Biru Teichiach. You see, we didn't get back the Beis Hamikdash. They got it back much quicker. But when he wanted to describe it, you know what he says? You know the difference between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second is? You know how we see the distance between them? Because Tziporonon shel Rishonim was greater than Kreison shel Acharonim. The fingernails of the first Beis Hamikdash people was greater than the stomachs of the second Beis Hamikdash people. What's he telling us? Is that Pashup Shatz at the going? The Tziporon, the externalities of the first Beis Hamikdash were more real than the internal avodah, than the stomach, the kishkas of the second Beis Hamikdash. The message is, the chisoron in the second Beis Hamikdash was a chisoron of pnimius. So, Krib Desla, what do Yisurim do to a person? Have you ever wondered, what do Yisurim do to a person? They wake him up. They make him focus. You know, Rabbi Shapiro would say, have you ever wondered how salt makes meat taste better? What does salt taste like? Salt doesn't taste pleasant. So when you add it to meat, it's gishmak. So he has a theory, I don't know where it comes from. He says, shat is, that the salt, because of the strength of its taste, blocks out all the other tamim that aren't strong tamim. All the tastes that aren't such strong tastes aren't as much as the meat itself are covered over by the salt. So if you take away all the other tastes, all you have in your mouth, all you sense, is the actual taste of the meat. This is the same thing with Yisurim. We sometimes get distracted with Inyono Elam Hazer, with things that are not really the focus of our pnimius. Yisurim wake us up and get us back to the internal pnimius, to the connection, to the place inside us where we start asking questions. The first question we ask when we have Yisurim is not a very pleasant question. What do we ask? Why me? But after that, once we're asking why, maybe we'll start thinking, hey, I have to wake up, I have to remember what this is about, to stop and think what it's about. So when the Chachmei de Be'atuna turn round to Rav Shmuel ben Chananya, and they tell him, Milchi kisari b'may malchilo, maybe there's too much salt. Has the Rabbeinu Shalom oversalted the food? It doesn't seem to be working. You're going into Golos, but it's bringing you down. The tyrannies of Golos are taking you away from learning. The disturbances are ruining your davening. How can we daven and learn properly if we're in Golos? And the answer is, Besilta the Kudnaisi, you should know, says Rav Shmuel ben Chananya. The Rabbeinu Shalom is interested in one thing. He wants real peiros. He wants our mitzvahs to be mitzvahs that are born, that are like children that we bear, that are whole, real expressions of ourselves. And if you take a kudnaisa, if you take a mule is not a horse, and it's not a donkey, it doesn't have any real essence. What is it? A mixture. A nishtahin, nishtahin. It's a mixture. A mixture doesn't give birth. Something that isn't real doesn't give birth. That's Rav Shmuel ben Chananya's response to the Umas HaOlam. You should know the Rabbeinu Shalom with his tzoras isn't just trying to get us to high madrega. He wants us awake. He wants us alive. He wants us inspired. He wants us switched on. It's not a question of doing more. It's a question of being more, of caring more, of feeling more. In Benadon L'Chaveru, it's not feeling for other Yidin. Yidin, we don't have a shaykh to Yidin. We don't have a shaykh to start feeling, start connecting. In Avodas Hashem, it's not a question of davening longer or davening more, davening better, davening with more feeling, davening with a little bit of excitement, a little bit of tam, to inject a little bit of that ruchness and the kedusha Shabbos. That's what the Rebbeinu Shalom is looking for. And over this time, this tzkufa, where we focus so much on Yisurin, when we're saying the kinnus and we see what the Rebbeinu Shalom does, and it's all, says the Rebbeinu Shalom, I want to wake you up. Eicha say Chazal is the same letters as Ayekah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to Adam Rishon. All the Eichos, all the Tzoros have one message to us. Ayekah, where are you? Where are you? Where's the Pnimius? I see your mitzvahs. And the Chanami says, Rebbeinu, oh, Bayeka, where's the you? Where's the essence? How much are we putting ourselves into our mitzvahs? And Ezra Hashem, This should be the last time we should have to go through these 9 days. We shouldn't even need a Tisha B'Av, where the focus on Pnimius should be mezakas to get back the Pnimius of the new Beis HaMikdash, Shezecha to his binyan b'mheir of Yameinu B'mheir.